Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. How is everybody doing today on the first day of the week? It is so good to be alive today. It is so much stuff going on. Brother Uriah, Brother Uriah Shalom, if you can hear me, please push one. I don't see Brother Uriah on here today yet. If you can hear me, Brother Uriah Shalom, thank you. Yes, indeed. I know you guys have been watching the news. I mean, it's something going on up in here. I'm telling you. Woo! Hold on. It's acting ugly. It's getting ready to get ugly. Lord have mercy. Woo! It is no end to the surprises. You just be like, wow. I mean, seriously. Woo! I got something I need to play for you just real quick. I want you to be able to hear this. Here we go. Because Lord have mercy, help us, Father. Yeah! Here we go.
Surprised by the scale of this attack. One senior official even told us that his hand was literally trembling as he was in the situation room writing down notes as Iran was carrying out this attack against Israel. Someone who knows the capabilities of Iran all too well, former National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. Matter of fact, he was in the situation room with other key Trump cabinet members when Iran's Major General Qasem Soleimani, the brutal military commander responsible for killing hundreds of U.S. service members in Iraq, was killed. Robert, really great to have you. Appreciate you being with us.
Good to be with you, Kara.
So, first off, Robert, your immediate reaction when you witnessed last night's attack, were you surprised, like the administration was, with regard to how large the attack was?
Because the Iranians have said for many years that they intend to destroy Israel. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the map, take them out of the Middle East. They supported the attack on October 7th, that brutal terrorist attack from Hamas. So this is Iran crossing a big red line. What was heartening to see here was the response to the missile defense systems, the allied coalition coming together with Jordan and other Arab states and the UK and the U.S., and then, of course, Israel's phenomenal Iron Dome and Arrow missile systems. They intercepted these missiles and kept the injuries down to one poor Muslim girl who was seriously injured.
And Robert, we were just looking at the picture of you in the Situation Room with Trump that night that Soleimani was killed. And I'm just curious, if you were in the situation, if you were indeed in the Situation Room again last night, what would you have been bringing up? Your advice, your concerns, your strategy?
So, Kara, I think that photo is of the al-Baghdadi raid, but I can tell you one thing. President Trump's hands wouldn't have been shaking, and no one's hands would have been shaking in the Situation Room and our administration. We understand the capabilities of Iran, and we have to restore deterrence. We've gotten here because we've had a policy of appeasing Iran. The Biden administration has done some good things in foreign policy. We appreciate the support of Ukraine and up until now, until recently, Israel and Taiwan, but They've attempted to appease Iran. They've tried to buy Iran off. They've given Iran more money in sanctions relief. And keep this in mind, it's quite astounding. They've given Iran more money in sanctions relief and hostage ransoms than we've given Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel combined. And a lot of that money has gone to Iran's proxies, to Hamas, as well as the missile program and drone program, which is hurting both Ukraine and Israel, as we've seen. So we
you know what? He's whining too much as he's mumbling. It sounds mumbly, but he said that they've given more money to Iran than they've given to the Ukraine, supporting their missile projects and all this kind of stuff, and that they were really people's hands were shaking in the Situation Room because of what went down yesterday. I mean, this is just getting ready to be. Let me open up Brother Uriah Shalom's mic. Brother Uriah Shalom, can you talk?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you been watching this?
I've been watching it, but you know the thing that gets me is what I learned from all of this is the lies go real deep. You had told us, Hussaina, that certain things were a smokescreen, and this is why I'm saying that. Last night, I was listening to it this morning, and they was talking about there was very minimal damage, no damage done in Israel. One little 10-year-old girl got hurt. That was it.
Right.
That's what they're putting out. Okay. I don't know if you know the brother, Benaya Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, put out a video. He said he knew that was coming, that Israel was going to say that. So he pulled all of the videos off of Twitter, people who was on the ground in Israel. You know, they, you know, people post stuff when things happen.
Right, right.
I saw an Air Force base being torn to shreds in Israel.
Wow.
It's online. He got it up now. The Air Force base over there got hit with those, what do you call them things? We were talking about those, the one, those supersonic, hypersonic missiles. Then it showed the Muslims. It's probably a couple thousand Muslims at the Al-Aqsa Mosque standing out there cheering it on. And you can see the missiles, the hypersonic missiles falling in the background. And the stuff was getting hit, y'all. Stuff was getting
hit. Oh, I believe that.
And they were not, what's name. And I know you heard what Putin just said this morning.
What did he say?
I know you heard, but you had to have heard what Putin said. Putin
I've been calling all morning. Tell me what he said.
Man, it's just, y'all, Putin told Biden. And America, that if you attack Iran on Iranian soil, don't think I'm going to sit by and do nothing.
I told you. I told you. The Medes and the Persians. I told them that it's not going to happen.
That's why Israel is calming down. I'm talking about some day. They're not sure if they're going to attack right now. I bet you not, because Russia just said there's something going on. Don't think he's going to sit by and do nothing. Because you do know he's in control of the Golan Heights now, right?
Who, Putin? I did not know that either.
He, well, he has the Syrian side. They put up flags and everything, Russian flags on that Golan Heights. He controls the whole Syrian side of Golan Heights. There are Russian soldiers there now.
Wow. That is crucial. I mean, you know, It's like a movie, man. It's like a movie playing out. You just looking like, wow. You know?
So what are they going to do now? Because this was in a situation. I know I was looking at that clip from Benaya Israel, and they was pulling that stuff off of Twitter. And they showed one video where the Israeli citizens, I guess they was out protesting Netanyahu. And there's a bunch of them out there. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of them out there. And all of a sudden, those sirens start going off. And those things start getting hit. You, all you see is this Israelis running and screaming. And some lady said this morning, made a statement. That's some Israeli citizen said, now all of a sudden, the roles are reversed. You didn't think about that when y'all was doing that to them Gazans.
No.
Them up and kill them. Now all of a sudden, we got to think about peace. We got to think about why? Because somebody done challenged you. Somebody done stepped up and said, we can do this and we can do that. And you know, Iran just told them that if they respond, that was nothing. They're going to respond. They're going to retaliate back. And this time it's going to be a lot worse.
Wow.
The only thing that I got up last night and I prayed, and I prayed again this morning, I want to pray for our brothers and sisters that went over there from the morning, because sometimes, and I'm going to say this, sometimes the Most High, you know, we stop him from doing, because we don't listen to him, and we just do things. When those Israelis were trying to deport them, how do we know that wasn't the Most High trying to get y'all out of harm's way? Because now they're in the crossroads. Because the Iranians were going after the Dimona nuclear facility. And they made several hits happen over there near that facility. And we got people over there. They need to get out the way.
Yeah. I mean, real talk. This is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. This is a lot. This
and you know what the title of that video by, the title of that video by Benaiah Israel? The title of the video is, Here Comes the Meat.
That's the truth. That's the Meat and the Persian. You know what this is, Daniel chapter 2 all day long. All day long.
Yeah.
You just be looking like, oh, my goodness. Let me see if I can get this thing up about Putin. I see you, Erico 504. One moment. Hold on, let me see. Let me get this up and see. See if they're going to say something. Because it might just be one of them videos where they making noise and Putin has already won. You know, this is getting ready to get serious. Is this a declaration of war? Everybody is afraid of this happening. Hold on.
Yep. President Isaac Herzog, his residence also here in Jerusalem. President Herzog, thank you for joining us on Sky News. 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, 120 ballistic missiles fired by Iran at Israel. What is your assessment of the attack that took place last night?
As you know already, Israel has undertaken all the necessary steps to block this attack, which was a violent, flagrant violation of all the rules of international law. And most importantly, I'm happy that we are part of an incredible coalition of nations that has been part and parcel in preventing most of these missiles and drones and weapons to come into Israel. Our air defense system has proven incredibly successful, including our air force. But what's the real story here is that emanates in front of the world arena and calls for special attention by all of the key figures in the free world is to understand that there is an empire of evil in Tehran, which has its proxies laid all over the region and terror cells all over the world. And it's about time that the world faces this empire of evil in Tehran and makes it clear to the Iranian regime that this cannot pass by, that this is unacceptable. This attack is just another example of how they operate for years and years, spreading havoc, terror, instability all over the world and especially in our region.
You say that this attack was unacceptable. The world and, of course, here in Israel, people are wondering what happens next. In your view, is this the end of the matter? The Iranians have come out today and said we have no intention of continuing the operation against Israel. Or do you think Israel should respond?
So the Israeli Security Cabinet is right now convening under its responsibilities and domain laid by Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they will take the necessary decisions to protect and defend the people of Israel. I guess every one of our decent viewers will ask him or herself, what would we do had we been attacked by 500 missiles and weapons like last night? In proportionality, in Britain, it would mean 3,500 missiles, drones, and cruise missiles. So we have to look at it in the right perspective.
Not in the perspective, because when them people came over on April the 7th, they said, this is an act of war. We are going to retaliate.
Yep.
Now they talk about we got it. Now, okay, you're right. All right. now it's the right perspective. Okay. Hold on, Erico 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to know, because, like you said, we can't really trust the news 100%. They say that they knocked out all 300 of the drones and the missiles that was going over, and not one of them got through. I can't see that.
No, ma'am, that's not true. You should watch the video by Benaiah Israel called Here Come the Meat. They pulled them folks' Twitter pages from over there in Israel. I can tell you right now alone that in the end of it, you'll see out in the desert, there's an Air Force base in the desert. It got hit about 10, 12 times. That alone.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you also, do you think that they had a mole in the in on Iran's side, because I was saying, okay, how did Intel know that, okay, once they did the sent the first set over, how did Intel know, oh, they got 200 more coming an hour, 2 hours later? How did they know that? Because I'm sure they didn't go and broadcast, hey, we going to send some more over. You know, how did that come out?
Satellite imagery. America has all this satellite imagery, and they're
okay.
Watching. They got satellites tuned in to Iran. I don't think they can count exactly how many, but they can
right.
see stuff leaving Iran, and I think that's how they knew stuff was coming in. That's what I think, you know.
Oh, okay, because I didn't know if they had a mole, you know, in their, you know, military, and they leaked it out, you know, to let them know, because when you're doing an attack, you're not broadcasting, hey, we're getting ready to send over so many,
right.
and after that attack, so many is on its way. No, I was just wondering how that got out, but thank you.
That is crucial. I got Benaiah Israel pulled up. Hold on a minute. Let me see. Hold on. Let me get this up here real quick. Okay. I don't know why it's not talking. Hold on.
Isn't it?
He's missed.
Okay, there we go. It's a short point.
Anyway, family. Wow. So hopefully everyone's doing well. I told you those Medes are coming, family. Those Medes are coming. And, of course, you know, basically, you know, if you listen, I don't know if you could hear what the reporter was saying, but so the news out of Israel, per Israel, is that, you know, yeah, they sent all these missiles up. We intercepted them. You know, we're good. Not a whole lot happened. You know, our iron dome was iron, right? So that's the story that they're putting out. But, you know, praise be to the Most High for social media. Family, because let me tell you, the stuff that you can see on Twitter, like, you know, real time and live, like, I actually saw the stuff going down in Israel way before mainstream media even mentioned anything, right? Way before you saw anything on NBC, you know, CNN, Fox, Twitter was blowing up with, you know, all kinds of messages and stuff about, you know, missiles are launching. Iran just launched missiles. Iran's launched 50 missiles, you know, Jubilee's missiles, and all this other stuff. And so, like I said, family, so the story out of Israel is they weren't touched, you know, a lot. It was minor damages and stuff like that. And the thing I wanted to show you, family, via Twitter, and actually let me see if I can get my Twitter up here on the screen. So hang on 1 second, family, because Twitter is based off of people with phones inside of Israel, right? So... man, I wish I could have got this thing working all the way. I apologize, family. Let me see. Let's see. Twitter. All right. And all right. Can you hear that, family? Yeah, we can hear. Mhm. All right. So basically, family. Oh, thank you, Ms. Pekah. So basically, family, and I, you know, for those of you that aren't sports people, I have to apologize, but, you know, my frame of reference is sports, is football, and the way I can explain this is football. And I, you know, again, I didn't have my clips with me because I was looking for a football clip to play to show you what was going on. So initially, so, you know, think of it this way, family. So Iran has a... They have an assortment of weapons. I mean, they have, like, these drones that are slow and mobile. You know, they're kind of like your offensive lineman. Then, you know, they have these missiles that are a little bit faster than the drones. They're like the, what do they call those things? These cruiser drones. I don't know why the name is escaping me right now. But they got these other missiles that are a little bit faster than the drones, right? And then they have these super, super fast missiles that they call hypersonic missiles. And so you know, leading up to this week, thank you, Sister Gloria Yehusha. Thank you. Cruise missiles. Let me see if I can put your post up here. Let's see, show. Cruise missiles. Shout out to Ema, Sister Gloria Yehusha. Cruise missiles. So slow ones are the drones. The next fast ones are the cruise missiles. And then the super fast ones are the hypersonic missiles. You know, it's kind of, those are just in general. I'm sure they got more than that, right? But just in general, like, those are the three. So you have, you know, it's like a Mexican standoff. You got Iran on one side and Israel on the other side. And let me see if I can switch over to, I'm going to share my screen again. Hang on 1 second, family. Just want to switch over to a map. Just want to
hold on.
Show you a map here.
Yes, that is a lot going on. I mean, that's a lot going on. Woo-wee, that's a lot going on.
As it goes on, though, Sister Aina, he actually shows those videos, and they are rough. If you go all the way toward the end, I want to see if I can get you a time so you can see what I was talking about. It gets crazy. You go to, I'm looking at the minute mark. Okay, let's be here. Because I didn't think Israel got hit like that, listening to our media. The 20 minute and 54 second mark.
Okay.
You'll start seeing some of the craziness that was going on.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Like the guy said, like one of the commentators said, he said, Israel do not want to mess with Iran because if this escalates, Iran will cut off the oil from everybody. They will cut off the tankers from going through the Strait of Hormuz and everything, and there will be no gas to go up to $12 a gallon. That's why I don't know how they really want to mess with them. They don't. They'll shut it all the way down.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
10 minutes ago on ABC News, the Biden administration just announced that Israel will do this on their own. They said they're not dealing with
it. But see, they was all up there. America was up there shooting down missiles. The UK was up there shooting down missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Canada was up there shooting down missiles. And now they all talking like, well, I don't know, you know, this is as far as we're going to be willing to go.
Yep.
You know? And they know what this means, man. This is going to get ugly.
Yep.
Because everybody's talking about, well, what happens next? Because, you know, when they struck them on April the 7th, oh, they was ready to go to war. And like the man said, he said they already fighting in Gaza. They don't have enough troops to fight Iran, too.
No, they don't.
This is getting ready to get serious. Right.
Yeah, it really is.
Ooh.
It really is.
I just want to know what they're going to do because it was an all-out assault on Gaza.
Yep.
It was an all-out assault on Gaza. It really was. It was an all-out assault.
You know what the thing that kills me? Is that when you listen to the media here in the Western Hemisphere, it plays it up like Iran is the big bad wolf, when Iran wouldn't even bother you had you not struck their embassy in another country.
Well, yeah.
We had nothing to do with it, and they wouldn't have bothered you. But you went out and did it. Now they responded. That's just like me going out slapping the crap out of my neighbor and walking back to my yard and not expect my neighbor to come over here and start something back.
That's right. That's what he said. He said, according to the universe, to the UN law, we have every right to defend ourselves. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, here it go right here. It says, Biden says, hold on, let me get this up. Hold on just 1 minute.
Biden is set to meet with G7 leaders later today amid fears of a wider war in the Middle East. NBC's Ali Rafa is at the White House with more. Ali, good morning.
Willie, good morning. President Biden is working to coordinate what he calls a united diplomatic response to Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel, while also stressing the need for de-escalation. The president also staying alert, saying in a statement late Saturday night that while we have not seen attacks on our forces or facilities today, we'll remain vigilant to all threats and will not hesitate to take all necessary action to protect our people. President Biden adding that he ordered U.S. forces in the Middle East to help intercept dozens of missiles launched towards Israel. The president met with his national security team in the Situation Room for roughly 2 hours Saturday before a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in which a senior administration official tells NBC News the president reaffirmed his commitment to Israel's security while making clear the U.S. will not participate in its response to Iran. Israeli officials now renewing vows to retaliate without elaborating on exactly how. Two senior U.S. officials telling NBC News some top officials are now concerned Israel could react quickly without thinking through the potential fallout from its actions. A senior administration official says the White House believes the Israelis are not looking for a direct war with Iran, but U.S. officials can't be certain. As sources familiar say, President Biden is privately expressing concern that Netanyahu is trying to drag the U.S. deeper into this conflict. Willie?
Ali Rafa at the White House this morning. Ali, thanks so much.
They ain't going to do it. They're going to be like, nope, we ain't getting it. No. That's the oil, y'all. I mean, that is the oil.
Yeah.
That ain't why they ain't just giving them money and stuff and lifting sanctions and giving them. That's because they control the oil. They put them on the run like, oh, no, you ain't going to get Oh, hold on. Area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's about time. They kept all threatening. So now it happened. And the thing is that, like Putin said, if the United States hop in it, they're going to be jumping up on them. And as we heard also from brother, saying that the Russians are at the Golan Heights with their ground troops, and oh yeah, it's going to be really hopping mad then. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, Psalm 83 is coming to life.
Yeah.
It is fulfilling prophecy.
Ooh wee! You know, you watching it, it's like wow. I mean, seriously. Hold on, here we go again. One more clip. This is real short. Here we go.
Meeting with the G7 leaders. White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks is at the White House with more on that. So the G7 leaders say that they stand ready to actually take further measures. So what exactly could those further measures be?
Yeah, Kira, the administration making very clear that what they saw last night from Iran was unprecedented, massive. Senior administration officials relaying to reporters it was on the high end of even what they expected from Iran, and that they believe Iran was absolutely intent in causing unbelievable damage there in Israel. But that luckily Israel's defense capabilities held, in large part with the help of U.S. forces and assets sent to the region to actively work alongside Israeli troops to defend Israel. But we heard the president, we know the president was on a call, rather, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday. We learned a little bit more about that call from some senior administration officials today. Basically, the president was trying to reiterate to Netanyahu that Israel should feel really proud that the defense systems held, and that the president was trying to encourage him to, at this moment now, sort of reassess things, take a serious evaluation about what exactly happened, and slow things down. I mean, clearly the White House is still worried about a potential Israeli response that could escalate things further, but that doesn't mean that the U.S. isn't expecting that Israel might very well respond in some way. Now, the U.S. wouldn't be a part of any kind of military response to Iran. U.S. officials are making that pretty clear, but the G7 could respond diplomatically, economically. They put out a joint statement are really saying that Iran should be held accountable for what happened, for what it did, for its attack on Israel. And I think they're in the process of developing what kind of unified diplomatic economic response that could be. All right.
And you know what the sad part about it is? If they do that, Don't be surprised if the other Arab nations don't get it and say, okay, we in it now. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
Wow.
Because this wasn't unprovoked. They did something to them. They didn't just step into this. This was not unprovoked. And then when somebody retaliates, then they're not supposed to retaliate. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. One thing that I think it was Big Judah had a video out that he said that he said Israel and the rest of the nation, they was waiting on that Left Behind movie to play out in Israel, where when the things came over, they dispersed up in the air because they had God's protection. And he said that's why they had to lie and said that the United States and whoever else knocked them all out, all 300 that came over, not one touched Israel. And he said so they can live out that scenario that, see, Israel is under the protection of the Most High, and it's not true.
No. Nope. That's crucial. Woo! It's a lot. That's a lot. La, 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 la. You know, even Jordan and them that got in it, they done said the list. Hold on, let me finish the rest of this real quick.
And also speaking now with the King of Jordan about the attack, right? How exactly is the administration working with Jordan and other U.S. allies that possibly the president has had other phone calls with privately about trying to calm these tensions moving forward?
I mean, I think it is exactly that, Kira, the president talking to these leaders in the region, trying to calm tensions, wanting to make sure that things don't continue to spiral. I mean, that has been the White House's concern, I mean, frankly, for weeks, but especially in, today, an anxiety that a response carried by a response could escalate things out of control. And we've seen and heard that message from other leaders throughout the region, you know, not only the U.S. and leaders in Europe, but like you said, it's the same message we've been hearing from a lot of leaders right there around Israel, anxiety that things could spiral, a hope that they won't. And, of course, this comes at a really complicated time. I mean, the president has had tough conversations with Israel in the last few weeks about Israel's war in Gaza. Obviously, the Jordanians worried about that as well, still worried about how Israel might be moving in the south of Gaza. And I'm sure the president trying to reiterate to all of these partners that it's continuing to work with Israel on all fronts.
All right, there you have it. I mean, this is it right now. Whew. It's crucial. You know, the word is just playing out right here, you know, and it's like, wow, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. You know, it's all over the news, everywhere. That's all you see. All over the news is this. Because this is really serious. They didn't expect them to do it, and they did it. You know, and now everybody's trying to find out how do we deal with it now that we've done it.
Huh.
You know, now that they have attacked us, now what do we do? Because they just completely annihilated Gaza.
Yeah, so what did?
They did. They went in and just killed men, women, and children looking for Hamas. They completely annihilated those people. Those people are literally starving right now. I seen a video where they said the babies, they had like 6 baby bodies that were in the hospital decomposing in the incubators because they didn't have the electricity and the I said, oh my goodness.
Oh, it's bad over there. It is really bad.
You know,
they're thinking about they were going to attack Rafa. That was the next city.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then now that you're up against somebody that's your equal, now you got to think about it.
I guess Iran told them boards don't hit back.
You know, now you're up against a nation that can actually fight with you, and now y'all having meetings about it.
The United States does the same thing. The United States does the same thing. When it's a weaker nation that they know that they can dog out, they go ahead on and they go in with all sheer raw power. But if it's a strong nation like China or Russia, or even if it's one of the Western nations, let's talk about this. Let's have diplomatic relations. We need to settle down. Bunch of bullhorn crap. But you let that be an African nation, that African nation stand up to them, oh, man, they're ready to go in full force. Air,
and
ground.
And pulverize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. We big and bad. We got the military. We can do anything we want to do.
Please.
And let Iran cut that oil off. Just from the United States. Increase of double the price.
No, let them go ahead on a sink or oil tanker out there in the Straits of Hormuz. Nobody ain't going nowhere. No ships going in, no ships going out. It'll dry that place right on up.
Yep, this is where we at. That's why they are very cautiously approaching it, very, very cautiously, very cautiously. Because they already said, hold on, let me get this up here, because they already said, hold on, that a container had been taken over by Iran on Saturday
yep.
anyway.
Yep.
So if they start doing that, it's over.
So overnight showed a group raiding a container ship linked to a London-based Israeli billionaire in the Gulf of Oman near the Strait of Hormuz. Moments ago, Iran state media said Revolutionary Guard commandos carried out the attack and seized control of the ship. Today, the Israeli army vowed Iran will bear consequences for escalating tension. President Biden warned Friday that any attack by Iran would be a grave mistake. The attacks would be in response to the April 1st Israeli bombing of Iran's consulate in Damascus, Syria, that left two senior commanders of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard dead. Natalie Brand is at the White House with more. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning, Dana. Sources have told CBS News the retaliation could include attacks carried out by both Iranian forces and proxy groups Iran has been funneling additional arms to around the region. When asked about an attack, President Biden warned Iran, quote, don't.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
A message from President Biden to Tehran and its proxies as the U.S. also takes steps to protect its troops.
Now, this was before the strike, y'all.
Now, and facilities in the region. A U.S. official tells CBS News that the attack aimed at military targets in Israel could include more than 100 drones, 150 cruise missiles, and even ballistic missiles used for long-range strikes.
Iran is trying to stress the Israeli defense system.
Retired General Frank McKenzie is the former Mideast commander.
If there's a significant mass casualty event inside Israel, then I think the possibility of escalation is very, very high.
The Pentagon's top commander for the Middle East traveled to Israel as international leaders, including from the U.S., are trying to tamp down tension. A U.S. official confirms that multiple messages, written and verbal, have been sent back and forth to Iran from the U.S. through intermediaries.
I think revenge is coming, but I'm just not sure about that massive Iranian sort of ballistic drone strike on Israel, because that invites an American retaliation turn.
Alex Batanka of the Middle East Institute says he believes the Iranian regime will try to avoid U.S. intervention.
You can't point to a single country in the region that really wants to see a regional war. I don't think the Iranians want it. I don't think the Israelis want it. Certainly the United States doesn't want to see it.
There you have it. This was before they issued the strike. This was before. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very arrogant people.
Never a dull moment. You know, when you know the scriptures, it is never a dull moment. You're sitting there like, well, I mean, the Most High is just turning the Middle East upside down. He's turning it upside down. This is crucial. I mean, you know, this is where we are. That is definitely where we are.
You know, they say Iran is enough for those missiles that they could shoot them things all day long if they wanted to.
Yeah. It's not just the Middle East. It's the whole world. Israel went through its trouble. Now it's 83 turn to go through theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, real talk. And like you said, now they know what it felt like when the lights is out in the dark and them missiles came through in the dark. That's crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody in Gaza to help shoot them missiles down. Their missiles hit wherever they were sent, and those people died.
Yep.
No? And then the one man was like, these are the people of God, and God is going to protect his people. And I'm just looking like, really? Okay, we can ready to see.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the land of peace, right? With them in it, but yet there's always conflict and war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, they're up there sending in ground troops as well as ground mechanized units. They wiped out Gaza, wiped them out.
Sure.
And you show no mercy to those people at all. Nah.
It's getting interesting. I'm telling you. I mean, like I said, they weren't able to retaliate against themselves. They had no win. They had no military. There was nobody to do that, to do anything.
So
just basically suffer.
You have no air force. You have no sea force. All you got is just basically boots on the ground. That's not enough assets. You don't have artillery pieces. You don't have mechanized units that can go out there and pound them back. And Gaza was basically defenseless. All you got is just missiles. That's it. And the thing is that those things, they're being, parts of it being smuggled in through those tunnels down there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and nobody else, no other Arab nation wanted to help Gaza or the Palestinians. They never do. They never do.
Well, they've made it very plain now, for real. Because that was a no-win situation. That was a we getting ready to pulverize you, and they did. They went in. But now that's a totally different situation. That's totally different. I got one more video, and then I'm going to stop playing. Hold on. Here we go. This is the last video.
Told the Iranians not to escalate. They ignored him. Now he's urging the Israelis to step back from the brink.
Whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here.
Will Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu draw a line under last night's events or up the ante too? There is huge pressure on him from allies, including Britain, to show restraint.
If this attack had been successful, the fallout for regional stability would be hard to overstate, and we stand by the security of Israel and the wider region, which is, of course, important for our security here at home, too. And what we now need is for calm heads to prevail.
The Prime Minister joined other G7 leaders on video conference, all urging restraint and condemning Iran for the attacks. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron spoke to his Iranian counterpart, tweeting later, "I made clear that Iran must stop these reckless attacks, de-escalate and release the MSC Ares, an Israeli-linked ship seized by Iran." Israel is under diplomatic pressure not to retaliate now. But can it let an attack by its sworn enemies in Iran go unpunished? Enemies who have in the past called for Israel to be wiped off the map. Iran seems buoyed up by its attacks. Government mouthpieces claiming it sets a precedent. Its military may well repeat.
Iran has struck the Israeli regime directly. And that means that from now on, if the Israeli regime targets Iranians anywhere, that Iran will hit back at Israel itself.
Iran says it had no choice but to retaliate for the attack on its consulate in Damascus earlier this month, blamed on Israel, that killed more than a dozen Iranians. It says the episode is now concluded after last night's attacks. But Israel may not see it that way after the first direct Iranian onslaught against its territory. all eyes now on Israel and what it does next.
I think it is about a 50-50 whether they decide to go and take this a step further. They would like, I think, to use this opportunity to have the Iran conflict take the spotlight off of the famine and the devastation in Gaza.
If Israel retaliates to this attack, Iran says it'll strike back with greater force. What we've seen so far this weekend would then just be the prelude to something even bigger. Dominic Waghorn, Sky News.
There it is. You have it. The money is there. Like I said, you have a nation that has the capability to do what you do. They have the military to do the same thing that you do. And now you want to talk about it. Because everybody else stepped up and helped Israel to do what they did to be. Because what would have happened if the American planes and the other nations' planes wasn't there to shoot those drones down? They wouldn't have been able to survive it either.
Nope. Sure wouldn't have.
They wouldn't have been able to do that. That's all I can say. This is a lot. The Most High is destabilizing the Middle East. He is bringing these nations against each other, and they are literally fighting each other.
Yep.
You know, and everybody is talking about this. I was listening to one of the brothers. He was saying, you know, after the 400 years in 2019, he said everything went haywire. Everything went completely haywire.
And it went back to normalcy. Like everybody said, when are we going back to where it was in 2019? It's not going to go back.
Oh. It ain't going to never go back. He moves forward.
And some of the pastors were out there, they were talking about, you know, with this eclipse that just passed, well, ain't nothing happened. Something supposed to happen? Well, guess what? It did.
Yeah, the war done started.
Mm-hmm.
They have truly started the war now. Because it's like, what you going to do? That's like, okay, you hit us, now we hit you, now what you going to do?
That's funny.
You know? It's crucial. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, these are the things that we have to watch because we don't have any say over it. It's not our fight. It's they fight. This is J-Fat fighting J-Fat, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. But like the Most High said, his word ain't going to come back void. And them Medes and them Persians is going to always be together. Russia and Iran will always be together no matter what. That's Daniel chapter 2. That's his word. They never going to be without each other. You know?
I find it interesting, whereas in New York, they said that the Jews up there are being well protected now by the cops, but yet they said nothing about the Iranians ain't being protected anywhere, as far as in the United States.
Yeah.
And I noticed that a lot of the news media, when they talk, the headlines were Iran attacks Israel, but they don't say the rest of it. Iran retaliates against Israel and Israel attacks it. They never say that. Very, very few of them do. Very few. So even in the news front, they weren't all together.
Lord, have mercy.
Psalms 83.
You got to know scriptures to know this. Psalms 83.
Yeah.
You got to know scriptures to know this. You got to know scriptures to know what's going on in the scriptures. Because the world will let you know, oh, this is the end time. Christ is about to come back. Jesus is coming back because they're attacking Israel. Nope.
No, they're supposed to be raptured out, remember? And I haven't heard nobody leaving yet.
Oh, they ain't going nowhere. I wonder how long they're going to spend that, how far they're going to go with that one, because everybody should be questioning that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they said some people already questioning when the drones went over there, they was looking to be raptured up and for Israel to have God's protection, and they didn't get it. So, like, where is God? How come y'all didn't get protected?
Right. Because you got other nations that's protecting you because they want to make sure that they are in right. Listen, hold on. I got one more for y'all. This is the man who was talking. Hold on. Here we go. Check it out.
I fumbled it, and somebody, a very clever person, did a great meme that mocked me for it, and I appreciated it. But I'm linguistically challenged at times. So, but anyways, this coalition's an unsustainable coalition. So, you know, Netanyahu is in a damned if you do, damned if you don't position right now. If he goes against Rafah, he's going to lose American help, and that's going to destroy him because the Israelis will sweep him out of power. The moment the United States cuts off military aid to Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu will be thrown out of power by Israelis who know they can't survive without American aid. So he's playing a game where he's just trying to play each other off. But the moment he kowtows to American pressure, the coalition will collapse and he'll be swept from power. So what sustains him? A larger war with Iran and Hezbollah. That allows him to avoid the Rafah issue, and it compels America to continue to provide weaponry. This is a very dangerous situation that we're in, because we've allowed one man, Benjamin Netanyahu, to put his personal survivability politically and, to be honest, physically, because if he goes to jail, he's going to die in jail. He's not a man in good health. And he's going to sacrifice everything, including Israel, for this. I wish the Israelis would wake up and understand what this man is doing to them. I hope America's waking up and coming to that sense. I think the world is starting to come to that sense. The most evil man in the world today is named Benjamin Netanyahu. He's the greatest threat to international peace and security that has ever existed in modern times, because he is, again, I just want to reemphasize to people, a conflict between Israel and Iran isn't just a conflict between Israel and Iran. It becomes a regional conflict that will bring in an energy capacity, energy security capacity, and overall economic thing. The Iranians will shut down the Strait of Hormuz, which means none of you are getting oil. The Bab al-Mandeb will also be shut down. None of you are going to get any container ships. If you attack Iran's oil infrastructure, Iran will destroy all oil infrastructure. So nobody's going to get oil. And now we're all sitting here in America, you know, thinking life's great, you know, $3.46 a gallon. It's a little high, but, you know, we can do it. We've adjusted to that. But what happens when it becomes $12 a gallon because the price of oil has gone crazy? What happens when there's no diesel? And all those trucks that drive the food around America go, well, we can't drive anymore. We don't have any diesel. And if they can't drive the food, that means going to, you know, Hannaford or Price Chopper or Safeway to go to grocery shopping, you're going to go and the shelves are going to be empty because there ain't going to be nothing there. Go to Walmart. There's always something at Walmart. No, there won't be anything at Walmart because the trucks ain't arriving.
I got.
All right. What y'all say about that one? Ain't no trucks coming. He's like, you didn't get this. That's why they don't want to do nothing, because they know if the trucks don't come, ain't nobody going to get no food, no gas, no nothing. Hold on. Let me get a little bit more. Here we go.
Suddenly your life sucks. Suddenly you're hungry. You don't have the things that make life livable. Your salary isn't going to go up. It's going to be all blown on this. You're going to see people unable to pay their mortgages, a collapse in the housing industry. I mean, we're talking the end of the economic world as we know it. So for all those idiots out there that are cheering this on, all you pro-Israeli people, it's time for Israel to take out Iran. Shut up. And for all you people out there who are anti-Israel, it's time for the Iranians to pound Israel. Shut up. You're messing with my life. You're messing with the life of my family, my friends, my community. The world does not need a war between Israel and Iran. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen at this point in time. So quit cheering for it and quit supporting Benjamin Netanyahu. That man's holding the whole world hostage for his little personal, he's 76 years old. He's in bad health. He's going to die soon anyways. Get him the hell out of office. Give him a pardon. Give him a damn pardon. Just say, Benjamin, pardon. Go die. Get the hell out of here so we don't die.
When the attack,
there you have it. Okay.
Man, they're trying to get rid of his ass.
These folks is like, look, now you mess with my stuff. Now hold on a minute. Hold on. Before your mic is open, you're on the air.
Well, that illegal government over there need to be done away with anyway. And the United States should stop supporting that racist illegal. And I don't want my tax dollars going to it. And before I go any further, ma'am, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I hope you're doing fine.
And who is this? Your voice sounds so familiar. Who is this?
It's Bianca.
Bianca, hey, how are you?
Still hanging in there.
In a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear you doing fine. What happened to the other gentleman who used to be on with you?
Brother, he's no longer with us. I think he's still around. He just moved on to another group. You're talking about Brother Adonia.
Yeah. But
well,
no,
this your
thing
too.
Ben Yahoo is... See, first, these people don't belong in that area. Though that government is Caucasian, and like Helen Kammer said, they need to go back to Germany, Poland, and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of timing. They cannot sustain a community. Their birth rate is not there. And when they had Operation Solomon and called themselves bringing Ethiopians back from Gondor, the Akbar, back to Israel, they sterilized the women.
The women,
they sterilized those black women and made them get on birth control.
What did?
So they ain't no good. Not Benjamin, he graduated from high school in Philadelphia.
Oh, Lord, did he?
Yeah, he went. He schooled in Philadelphia. He's worse than Hitler. What they're doing is imposing genocide on those Palestinians who have always been there. And they're doing it because they're trying to stop their birth rate, because they would overrun them. It's going to happen. It's only going to be a matter of time. There's no stopping an idea whose time has come. If you occupy my living room, I'm going to do every damn thing possible for as long as I can to get you out of there. It's just going to be a matter of time.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know why come black Americans don't speak up more on this subject. It's just a shame. And forgive me for raising my voice, but this is pitiful. It started back with Arthur Balfour and Theodore Herzl. Balfour was a hater of black folks. He said it.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing, that idea they had, was supposed to be in Uganda, remember? Could you imagine a bunch of white folks going back to Uganda talking about, we're back?
Right.
And Idi Amin trained with the IDF. And when he was done, and they tried to coerce him, let them come in and have access to the minerals in Uganda, Idi Amin said, we ain't doing it. Go to hell. So, no, these people are evil. And, here's another thing. See, they got this. This is very cleverly done. This move that they made in 1948, and actually was planned back in the early 20s, has been associated with biblical stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you got whites who's looking for a Jesus to come back. Jesus ain't coming back to no Palestine. They'd kill him. Why don't he go back to Rome? Think.
Yeah.
ain't going no place I ain't want it. So, no, this is a bunch of bull talk is all it is. And you know, it's just a shame where this stuff is going on. And they're killing these young kids. They don't want the population. They do the same thing to blacks. Look at England. Look at Europe. They ain't got enough people, whites, to maintain their society, so now they're bringing in migrants. Same thing you see going on here. This damn Joe Biden administration is crazy as hell. I like the old outwardly racist Joe Biden better myself.
Wait, I know. It's terrible. But it's all got to play out. It really do.
And look at the money they give this. They got 10 million people. Half of that is kids, so and it really ain't half of that. So say two-thirds of that is adults, and they don't came from all over the place claiming to be Jewish and Israel and all that stuff. And you giving them these close to $1 trillion? Do the math on that.
They were giving money to the Iranians. We didn't know about it.
And see what it is. You got several things going on there, like it is in Ukraine. You got military weapons being bought and sold and given to Iran and money given to Iran. That money is coming back around with what's called the boomerang effect. It comes back around and is going to these agencies like AIPAC and others, and then it's distributed to these politicians for their campaign war chest, which you have no control over. It's nothing but a big money laundering scheme and a payback.
Yep.
That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. America let that stuff go by. And American citizens ain't enjoying nothing no better. They raise minimum wage up to $20 an hour. They raise minimum wage up, rent go up, food go up.
Yep.
It's a bunch
Black
of
folks trying to tell them that nobody wanted to listen.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. Black folks, not all now, are bamboozled on just about anything that comes down the pipe. They're just bamboozled. Kids ain't learning, can't read and write, can't read and do math. What are they going to do? And it's not the child's fault now. No child wake up in the morning wanting to be a failure. The child wake up and the whole world is in front of them. But what's major school system do children know how to read and do math? And what you going to do if you can't do that? You can't compete with the world. You're always going to be in a position of servitude of some sort.
And that's why they give them arts and humanities.
Yeah, you're right. So I don't know what to say, ma'am. I really don't. It's messed up. Women cannot raise boys to become men.
That's
it ain't going to happen. And it's not happening. That's why you complain. Then women complain, I can't find no husband. Well, you raising what you have to choose from. The circle has been broken.
Yeah.
Until that circle, until you figure out how to put that circle back together, you're going to have these problems forever.
Keep the government out.
And
well,
then I'm going to have to say this.
We on our way out of here now, so, I mean, you
let
know.
Let me
and
say
the most
this real quick.
Be able to put it back together. Because it's not going to happen here.
No,
exactly.
It's not. Let me say this real quick. These women have killing all these babies in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you try to have one, you're trying to form and to perfect a baby in a haunted house. It's a haunted house. You wouldn't spend the weekend in Amityville. You sleeping in the bed and furniture start running across the floor, doors shut and closed, windows open and closed.
Right. That's true. But that was all
anyway,
a part of the Bianchi. That was a part of the curse. And all that's going to happen to us as a people, we got to get up out of here because it's not going to happen here. That was purposely done. It was organized and purposely done. It was.
You're absolutely right, because when lightning strike,
It don't segregate. It get everybody that's standing around.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Wow. Yep. It's just good. I mean, you know, we know what the problem is, but the problem is that we are in captivity. And as long as we're in this captivity, this is what it's going to be. That's why when you watch this, these things happening, you see the Most High correcting, he's correcting everything and putting it right. Yeah. Nothing you can do. Not a doggone thing you can do but wait it out, because all you can do is watch him work. Because he got to get his people out of here. He really does. This is serious stuff right here. You know, you be scared. You scared to go to sleep and wake up. You like, what is it going to be now? You know, like, what? What's going on now? It's always something. But it's his word. His word fulfilling itself. Yes, it is. And yes, it does. Glory to his holy name. We have come. We come in there, y'all. Like I said, it's always, that's why it's so important for you to know the word of the Most High. When you know his word, you can sit back and watch the news and watch everything unfold. Even if they lying, you know they lying. You like, nah, not with all them missiles. I know they had to hit something. You, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You had over 300 missiles and drones, and y'all got all of them. That's, and they was all shot at the same time? Nah. No, so it's what it is. There's nothing we can do. You know, embrace yourself. Like I said, don't stop storing up. Don't stop doing. Keep low, fill your car. Make sure you got gas in your car. Always be proactive. You know, because this stuff could change at any moment. You know, don't stop doing what we're doing, because we've been doing this anyway. He's been teaching us to do this anyway. You know, we've been doing it. So all praise be to the Most High Yah. Indeed. Anybody else? I mean, this is getting good. Anybody else want to push one? Anybody else have anything to say? Anything? All praise be to the High Holy One of Israel, because this is where we at now. You know, and the Most High keep you occupied. You know, we think about 2019. It's been 5 years since that.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's been so much stuff happening. Before you know it, you look up, you like, wow, 5 years done passed by. And this one went by quick.
It sure has.
I mean, seriously. You know, it really went by quick. And you're like, man, it's been 5 years. But he's got to work it out. He has a strategy in place. And nobody's going to interrupt that strategy. No matter how anxious you are, you're going to have to watch it. You're going to have to watch this thing play out right before your eyes. He said, I'm going to turn your captivity right before your eyes. He did. And we are watching it. These people is battling with each other. And the thing about Iran is they know who Israel is, because guess what? Esther was the queen, and they know she was an Israelite. They know who she was. She was from the tribe of Benjamin. So they already know she was a part of their Most High fixing, y'all, where she was a part of their history. So when they pull up their history, they got that black woman sitting up there. Esther was a part. She was the queen of Iran at Persia at one time. So this ain't just, you know, they know this is us all day. Everything you see is pertaining to us. They know. This is something else right here, you know, and they keep and they listen. Russia came out and said that Jesus was black. Watch what's going to happen. It's going to keep on happening. It's going to keep on happening.
Yeah.
It is. They call it what they said, the Zionist regime, the fake Zionist regime. They know.
They circulating pictures now on YouTube showing one of the popes, two of them, they kneeling down praying to Black Madonna and baby Jesus, but they go out into the church and have the people worshiping a white Jesus. Behind closed doors, they showed the big picture of Madonna, black Madonna, and a black baby Jesus, and they were kneeling down praying to it.
Now, sometime they said that was ISIS and Tammuz. That's what they claimed that was. But, I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying. I really do. I get it. I mean, I get it. It's, you know, it's all false. All of it is false. No matter how you try to cut it, they false. You know, but he who controls religion controls the people. They do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just like all this stuff that's been going on in hip-hop and all this stuff with these hip-hop artists and P. Diddy and all these folks, you know, it makes me angry because I feel like this. You know, these people have been put out front to be icons for our community, so to speak. We watch everybody, oh, he's a billionaire. Oh, this one is a billionaire. Oh, that one is a billionaire. You know, and then they accomplish certain things and they accumulate things. Our children look at these people and idolize these people and want to be like these people. And then when everything hits the fan or they come after these people, it's like, oh, they coming after a black man all of a sudden. And it's always coming up. No, because if you are given the opportunity to be out front, then I have not found one that has kept their nose clean. And that arena that they have had out there, it's debauchery, it's foolishness, it's wickedness. And it's like, when, and these are family men, it's like, when do you set an example? When do you become the example? You know, and we have to really begin to teach our children not to look at these people as examples. We really do. And you know what? I'm glad all this stuff is hitting the fan with all of it and everything is coming out and everything people are talking. Because our children need to see what it looks like, because everything that glitter ain't gold. They always dangle that in front of our face. You know, look at me. You want to be like me. Look what I got. You want to have what I got. But nobody tells you what people have to go through to get that stuff. And now it's coming out in the open and everybody's so shocked. And it's like, no, it's always the same. The devil is always going to be the devil. Respectable black men. I mean, really, it's like, where, oh, you get this money and you get this status, where is the respectability? Where is the morals? Where is the boundaries? And it's like, there's none.
Yeah, you know. The love of money is the root to all evil. That's why.
Clearly. Because it's not that, oh, he's done a great job and, you know, he's been excellent to the community. And, if it's true, because, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty. But sex trafficking for real? Freaking parties for real? I mean, why do we have to go to the gutter for with it?
Right.
Why? It's always about pimping. I'm getting ready to get real for me. It's always about hoes. It's always about pimping. It's always about money and cars. It's always about self-fulfillment and the things you want. And it's always about sex. All the time. And then when it's exposed, because it gets exposed, when it gets exposed, because you've done it with impunity, you've done whatever you wanted when you wanted, and now it's getting exposed, and then you run back to the black community and be like, I'm really a good guy. They just after me. No, you have an opportunity to be something positive. Where is that? I just want to know where it's at.
They can't do it because the money will be taken. They can't do it because the money. They can't do it because the money will be taken away from them. They are told that they are not supposed to help their people.
Okay, but what about your character?
Yeah.
when you want money and you've never seen that much money before that you can do and you know, help out your family and even some of your friends, okay, or even money that you owe, you can pay it back. Character is out the door. Morals is out the door. Because if somebody came up and told me, hey, Wim, I'll give you $1 million, pay off all your debts, you don't have to worry about nothing else in life if you would just sleep with this man. Not only no, but hell to the no. Not doing it.
Right.
Yeah. So they came out with a movie with Demi Moore.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Slept with that man for $1 million. And for what? She ruined her marriage.
Ruined her marriage for some money. You know, and it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing to us as a people, you know, that our children are aspiring to be like these people because they ride around in the tricked out rides. They got the clothes. They got TMZ following around with cameras clicking in their face. And our children feel like they're inadequate because they can't be like these people.
Yep. Part of it is the parents' fault too, because the parents are the ones that teach them. They need
My mama used to always tell me, she said, look well into a matter. She said, stop looking at the surface, because everything you see ain't what you think it is. She used to tell me that all the time. Look well into a matter. Don't just look at the surface and think, you don't know what people doing to get the stuff that they getting.
There you go.
And it goes for the men and the women. And it ain't just the black men, but I'm talking about our community. It ain't just the black men, but our community. Everybody has done something. These icons that they have out there in the rap industry, these guys have they have done things that is just it's just embarrassing. The ones that they've exposed, it's just embarrassing. I can't say all of them because I hope it's not all of them. I really hope it's not all of them. It is just embarrassing that you had control over the community. You were out there. You was the face. And you made it appear like it was one thing when you really was a monster behind closed doors. Make it make sense. That is always about sex, pimping, women, and just mess all the time. Everybody want to be a pimp. Everybody wants some hoes. And that's all it's been about. And it's embarrassing. We have really got to get to our kids and teach our children about you. Because that's the only thing that's going to change. It's right here.
Did you see where this black teacher, she was in her early 40s, 42, I think. She may have been 46. I know she was in her 40s. And she had a son in his 20s. 24, somewhere around there. I don't know what state it was in. It may have been in, I don't want to say, and it's not either Alabama or Mississippi. It was one of those. I think it was Alabama, but I'm not sure. She was a teacher of, I forget how many years. She'd been in the system for many years, teaching at a high school. And what she was doing was seeing where she would take the teenage girls. And if they wanted to run away or whatever, this is the understanding I had, she would pay for the hotel for them. She would put them up in a hotel, and then she would send her son to them. And then he would pimp them out or whatever he did. And she had this racket going on where she was getting students that she was teaching. And so it was a teacher that found out about it, because what happened, one of the other teachers that worked there, it happened to her daughter. Her daughter went to school there, and the daughter came back and told the mom, you know, I guess the girl called herself running away or whatever, but that other teacher put her up in the hotel, and the girl some kind of way went back home. She told her mom what happened and gave the name of the teacher and everything. So the other teacher, she went and brought it to the attention of the school, of the principal in them. She had everything documented. She had copies of the text that was sent to the daughter back and forth and all that. And so she brought it to their attention. It was brought to the school board's attention, the district. Okay, it didn't reach the police. So the teacher, the whistleblower teacher, they sent her a letter. They called her in and told her, or they said, you either resign or we're going to fire you. So she resigned and took her daughter out of the school because they didn't do anything about it. So it was some activists that got hold of it, and they brought it to the attention of the public. And so they was out in front of the school, and they were bringing it all out. They had the chief policeman there. They had people from the school board there, and I guess the principal or whoever. So the black activists stood up, told what was going on, had a folder full of documentation. Here it is. On this date, it was reported to you, and you all are supposed to be protecting the children of the school, and you didn't do anything. Do you know not one of them from the school district would come on the mic and say nothing? The principal wouldn't say anything, and the head of the police department, where they said they did arrest the son, but at the time that they arrest son, they didn't know his mom was involved, that she was getting the girls for him. They arrested him at one of the hotels. Somebody reported that he had young girls in this hotel, so he did go to jail, but they didn't know his mom, the teacher. So I want to know why the school, the principal and the school district knew that this went on in 2023 and it's 2024 and it's just now coming out. And they allowed that teacher to remain there, continue to do this, but the other teacher, the whistleblower, got fired. And so
because,
the black activist.
Because that's the society we live in.
Right. He says, if I had a child in this school, he said every parent in this school need to be out here right now in front of this school demanding some answers.
They don't care. They don't care because they caught up themselves in all this debauchery. They are caught up in the same debauchery, and it's like, wow, the only thing we have is to teach our children about y'all. That's it. Because you got to be able to tell the difference. You got to be able to tell your children, there's an Elohim that's judging this world right now. You can't do whatever you want to do and think you're just going to get away with it. You might get away with it for a little while, but after a while, he's going to judge you. And you're going to be judged whether he do it through sickness, whether he do it through jail, whether he do it through exposure. He's going to judge you for the things that you do in the flesh. You don't just get to do whatever you want to do. And this is the society that we living in right now. Long as you do whatever you want to do, and you ain't got no right or no business to judge what I do. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's an Elohim. Y'all don't know who he is. His name is Yisrael, and his son's name is Yehoshaphat. And guess what? They are going to come and set the record straight because you're not going to keep doing this and get away with it. You're just not. It's embarrassing. And I'm not saying white men don't do it, because they do it too. But I'm talking about us. We already the underdog as it is. We've already the low man on the totem pole. And then you get one or two that's finally up there. Everybody looking, the kids is glaring at them. And this is the kind of lifestyle that you lead. It's evil. It's just evil.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. From the pastors to the preachers to the rap artists to the movie stars, we have to teach our children not to worship man. We are going to have to teach our children how to look at Yah, because we've got to separate us from them. Because, see, the devil is always going to dangle stuff in your face, the clothes, the cars, the women, the attention. He's going to always, and the money, he's going to always dangle that in your face to get you to think that it's all right over here on this side. But he ain't telling you what's going to happen over on this side. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. It's like Sexton just went crazy. It's embarrassing. It is. I don't know. And I don't know, y'all. Just pray for us. I don't know. Well, Brother Uriah, you want to lead us in prayer?
Yes,
Yes, ma'am.
We might as well just let this thing be, because it is going to be what it's going to be, and all we can do is represent y'all. Now, I'm not saying that people don't make mistakes and that they have a right to repent from their mistakes, but, I mean, how many times do we have to make mistakes? Brother William, you might be right about that. You know, they offer you all this money, and if you do this, we'll give you all this. When do you tell them no? They be ready to commit suicide and all kind of crazy stuff. And you got everything that everybody else is aspiring to have. You got the houses, the mansions, the maids, the butlers, the personal assistants, everything everybody is aspiring to have, and you still ain't satisfied. So that ought to be a red flag right there.
Yep.
Whenever you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. We coming for Yahweh through his son, Yeshua the Christ, and we say thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing. And we give you thanks for protecting and watching over us and our families and our nation. We pray this day that you protect those of our nation that are in the Negev Desert over in Israel. We pray that you protect them. We pray that if necessary, move them out of harm's way. We pray that you continue to strengthen each and every one of us in this nation and throughout the diaspora. We pray that you watch our hearts, calm our fears, and us grow in our belief and our strength in you. I pray that you come to us and deliver us, O Father. Deliver us out of these nations that you scattered us, these places where the people still continue to talk about us and treat us bad and wrongly. We pray that you watch over our family members. We pray that you deliver all of us from the elderly to the youngest, the ones that are not able to walk, the ones that are not able to see. We pray for all our people to be delivered out of these lands. We beg for you for your mercy and your grace for the things that we haven't done that have not been pleasing in your sight, as we ask for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the things you've given and provided. We thank you for everything and all things, and say, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God.
Hallelujah.
You know, you guys keep us in your prayers. You know, as a nation, we really got to be able to begin to pray for our people. I mean, because it is really, it's just, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't really know. But anyway, I have enjoyed the class. I have enjoyed the show. You know, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing because we're on our way out of here. By the word of the Most High, we stand on it, believe it, and trust him. And we will see you guys next week at our regularly scheduled programs. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a great rest of your week, okay? Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.